Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Public Broadcasting producers have been traveling the state, searching for places that once were and asking what the loss of a town means for us today. Join SDPB Thursday, May 23rd in Aberdeen for a screening of the documentary Vanished South Dakota, Towns of Yesterday. Sherry Rostern is curator of education at the Dakota Prairie Museum. She's the event's featured speaker, and she joins us now to talk about the project. Sherry, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me, Lori.
So this has been fascinating conversations about some of these towns, and you're featured in the SDPB documentary with some towns in Brown County. Tell us a little bit about the history that you were able to uncover. Is there a town you want to start talking about specifically?
Well, the whole concept when the ladies came, it's something that everyone is absolutely interested in, because no matter where you are, not just in South Dakota, but, you know, pretty much in any state, everyone's experiencing this. Maybe their grandparents came from a smaller town. They remember going to visit them, or, you know, something like that. And then slow by slow, those towns are going away. So as I started talking to other people about the project, everyone said, oh, yeah, I used to go visit an aunt. Or, oh, yeah, there was my grandparents. It seems like it's a wonderful subject for you guys to be working on, because everyone has a story. So when the ladies came here, it just so happened we had an exhibit that was up for years featuring Brown County towns, and we divided them into two: the towns that are still around, and then the towns that we kind of call the ghost towns. And we had to be very careful, because in some of the, quote, ghost towns, there's still six people living there.
Right.
So, of course, you don't call it a ghost town yet, but we're calling it on the way out
sure,
kind of town.
And those people know that.
Well, yeah, but they're still a little sensitive. So I'm wondering about next Thursday. There may be some saying, no, there's still two people living here.
But let's talk about that for a minute, because that says something as well about how we see ourselves in the places, you know, that we live. Don't count us out. We're not invisible. We have not vanished.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're very proud, and they're very fierce, and they're very loyal. And for some of the people who live around Tacoma Park, for example, I don't think that's one that's going to be talked about next Thursday, but there's a very rich history there. And in doing a little more in-depth study just on a few of these towns, I found some fascinating stories about the Children's Blizzard.
Oh,
and how,
sure.
Fortunately, everyone made it through, but the fact that some townspeople in one of the towns almost made like a human chain to get to the school to rescue the kids. And I think it's important to get those stories down, because who's going to be left to remember them? Yeah, they're in books. But it's still, I think it's important to get out and share those particular stories. And there's so much history out there. You have to look for it. You know, some of it's oral history. But we put this exhibit up several years ago, and just the things I heard from the people coming through, oh, yeah, I remember that town. Or, oh, yes, my family came from that town. And we have one town, it was around for 3 years.
Wow.
And then it was done, because the railroad decided not to go through it. So they literally picked up all the buildings and moved them to different towns around.
Really?
Yeah.
What are some of the, when people remember, you know, my grandmother, what are some of the themes that you hear that they're keyed into? Is it they remember churches, or they remember, you know, a Sunday visit, they remember people? What is it that are you noticing?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Verdon is going to be one of the towns that we're talking about. And that's not ghost town, because there are still some people living there. But Verdon was known for their big opera house. Now, it's kind of a shell of what it used to be. But the people that would say, oh, I remember going there, that beautiful opera house, and then if we were good, they would let us go inside. People remembered the curtain that was hanging. people remembered the different posters that were up. It was a stop along the vaudeville route. You know, a lot of these little towns had places, and if they could get a big enough crowd. So then I get older people saying, I remember going there. I remember seeing the play. I remember seeing the graduation and just the wonderful memories it brings up. It could be as simple as, I remember going to my grandmother's or grandfather's house, all the flowers they had, or I hear a lot, the lilacs.
Sure.
This time of the year, when the lilacs are starting to come out, people out on the prairie, lilacs could take the winter. What did they say? Takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Sure.
They could. And so you had a lot of those around the farmsteads. So you have that. Sometimes it was the old schoolhouse that was there, and the kids remember going into the school and playing school. It's a whole host of things, not necessarily one. Sometimes it's an unusual neighbor, maybe who was a little grumpy or grouchy, and they were scared of them, or going to the cemetery and seeing their family from way back. It doesn't always impact kids, but as you get older, a sense of family is very important to you, and you want to find out. Ancestry.com. You want to find out, who is my great grandparents? Were they here in this country? Were they around? And you kind of find your family there too. So,
talk a little bit about just the thirst that people have when you created the exhibit at the Dakota Prairie Museum, when South Dakota Public Broadcasting came collecting some of these stories of towns that people really want to talk about it. How is that history being preserved?
For us, we do it in our oral history tapes, and we're fortunate enough to be a big enough museum where we have paid staff. There are dozens and dozens of great museums around the state, and it's volunteers, and they do a great job. But when you're a volunteer, you're trying to keep the doors open and keep the exhibits up. You don't always have time to go out chasing somebody with a cassette player.
Sure.
And a microphone and whatever. But oral histories or videos are now more the thing of some of these people and getting that down. When I went to school, I always loved history, but I ran into kids that say, history is nothing but dates. Dates are boring. Dates are dry. And I always felt differently that history is about stories and it's about people. And we can so relate to it. I wonder, going back to this, how a 16-year-old teacher felt in a classroom facing kids for the first time, and some of them were older than her.
Huh.
I would love to find out, what was going through her, her mind, or what did they decide when they didn't have a lot of experience during something like the Children's Blizzard, or maybe there was a tornado coming their way. I'd like to find out about that. How did they survive the great winter blizzards and snowstorms? Where were they when they heard Japan bomb Pearl Harbor? Kind of like for our generation, where were we on 9/11 when we heard about the Twin Towers?
Sure.
And those are defining moments in history. It's just a date, but let's find out, how did that impact your parents? How did that impact your grandparents? How did it impact you?
Tell us a little bit about the museum this summer and what folks can expect to find there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We are in a historic building on Main Street in Aberdeen. We have two full floors of exhibits. Some are permanent. We talk about the prairie, Native American houses, early history of our area. This summer, we are working with another gentleman from our county who is a huge NASA buff, and of course we're coming up to the 50th anniversary
right, of
the moon landing. So we are going to take one of our exhibits and transform it into all things lunar. So people can come up and take a look at that. along with various art shows. We have a little bit of everything.
Oh, sounds like a great great time. How do you kind of link the community into the museum? Is there a volunteer or a docent program, or how do people really interact with you in the meaningful way?
So many ways. We are always looking for volunteers, and not just for sitting at the front desk. I'm in charge of education programs, and I need helpers there. We need helpers to work with our collections person for various exhibits. You can contact us, Dakota Prairie Museum, Dakota spelled the old-fashioned way, D-A-C-O-T-A-H. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We have a website. You can call us about any of that. You can come down and visit us, talk with us then. We're open.
All right. Sherry Rostern is curator of education at the Dakota Prairie Museum, the Vanished Towns East River screening at the Wine Gallery Presentation College Southeast building on Main Street in Aberdeen. That's at 7 p.m. on Thursday, May 23rd, and Sherry will be one of the featured speakers talking about the towns of Brown County, Ordway, James, Verdon, Putney, Houghton are just a few of the towns featured in this Vanished Towns documentary. Sherry, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.